Next item on the agenda is Henry S. Jones, Jr., 2007-076.
Before I get started, Mr. Wesson, Dr. Wesson handed me a letter from Rick Weeks, who is the chief deputy for DEQ, and give you a little bit of time to read it. I'll quickly summarize what I think he would like, and it's basically to have a buffer around the Shell plants.
Pages.
And there's quite a bit of CZM money that's involved in these Shell plants, and he feels like there needs to be a buffer around them.
Okay.
I'll go forward with that if y'all are. Henry S. Jones requests authorization to lease 7.25 acres of oyster planting ground in Smith Island Bay near Smith Island in Northampton County, and the project is protested by a nearby property owner, which happens to be the Nature Conservancy. Location map showing the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, Fisherman's Island, U.S. 13. Smith Island is the most southern, well, second most southern. Fisherman's Island is the most southern island on the eastern shore, and the arrow is the location of the project itself. A little closer view, yellow is the outline of the existing oyster ground leases in the area, and this map itself, the aerial photography, is 2002. Mr. Jones applied last October for 20 acres of oyster ground, which you see in yellow. That was blocked out, and it included this area through here. We informed Mr. Jones that there was a BMRC Shell plant in the middle of this, and we would not be leasing anything near that. Mr. Jones changed his application to the area south of the Shell plant, so all this is not part of the application anymore. And as you can see, there's quite a bit of activity. There's clam aquaculture, as you can see the bids here on Mr. Ballard's or Ballard Brothers lease right there. And the Cape Charles Lighthouse is down here in the corner right there. So view looking south, Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnels in the background. Smith Island or Cape Charles Light is here in the area in question or under what's that Mr. Jones has applied for is a half a mile north of in this general area here. The Shell plant that Nature Conservancy and our replenishment division has been involved with is up here on the north end of this rock here, not on the southern end, but up here. Mr. Jones has this area down here is what he's applied for, and you can see a little shell rock that's in the middle of his application. This is looking towards the north. This is the area that Mr. Jones has applied for. The shell area that is under the shell plant is up here in this general area, and you can see there's more rocks to the south of it that would not be inside Mr. Jones's application. Again, in red, you can see that we marked it with PVC pipes. So we've got a really good map here showing in red what the actual limits are of the oyster grind survey. And when we get to the oyster grind survey itself, we show that the rock has been cut out. And the reason it was cut out is because Mr. Jones was trying to compromise with the Nature Conservancy and not have this protested and not be brought in front of you. That could not be worked out. Up here on the north, again, you can see all the, I guess you can see them, yeah. There's PVC stakes all up here, and then the line cuts across here. There's no stakes on the southern portion of this, just up on the northern end where they're using them. There are reef balls and so forth in about approximately a half-acre area up here. Nature Conservancy protested the oyster grind application. They have concerns that the proposed lease will adversely impact the oyster reef that they are partnered with VMRC. They also contend that the lease will encroach on Nature Conservancy property. We flew this at low tide on a zero tide, meaning it was one-tenth below normal, and that was on a real-time tide gauge, so it's relatively close. And you can see there's water all the way to here, there's water into here. This could have been expanded. We say that we're in three-tenths of a foot of water at mean low tide. In reality, we're probably closer to a half a foot. We always give the benefit of the doubt when we're dealing with low water to the high land owner, and that's been a policy that we've had for years, and that hasn't changed. Again, looking north, something that it's interesting, this, because I think ownership is somewhat in question. In the 60s, from some of the aerial photography that we have, Smith Island was broken into three different parcels, and one of the breaches was right through in here. When that breached, a lot of this was created. This was a separate island to itself, and it slowly, the two islands have merged together. The push came to shove. This island right here may be part of, it came out of submerged lands, and it could possibly be state marsh there. And we're just kind of looking to the south, and the reason I've got this in here, here's Mr. Jones's little shell pile there and the area that he wants, and the rock itself that's part of the shell plant, VMRC and Nature Conservancy is just off this page to your left. But what you can see here, and this was taken last week, is some of the Ballot Brothers beds, the clam beds. They look like they're either covered up or they've just harvested them. But anyway, there is activity relatively close to the shell plant, as there is not. That's 350 feet now. Back in July, Paul Rogers of my staff went out and did a survey at low tide, and it was based off of real-time tide gauge, and there's also a tidal bench that the Army Corps of Engineers has been using in the area that's based off lower low water, so that's about 1,500ths of a foot lower than low water, and he feels extremely comfortable, and so do I, that all this is well channeled of mean low water. Mr. Jones, as I said earlier, to alleviate some of the concerns, was willing to give up this rock. However, that's a donut hole, and we do have some issues with that. And just to give you some idea of the distances from the closest point on this kind of dog leg of the application to the area where the rock is staked, the outer rock is staked all the way out here, is 300 feet. Ballot Brothers lease on the north end is 350 feet. Inside of that, there's a smaller area, a half an acre, that appears to be where the actual shelling and reef balls were put. And this is more of the buffer area around it, appears at this time. And if you include the little rock in the middle, it comes out to 7.25 acres. I'll leave this up and do go through my summary and recommendation. Although the Nature Conservancy feels Mr. Jones's lease would encroach upon their highland property, staff is confident that the lease survey begins channelward of mean low water. In fact, we believe the area within the survey is well beyond mean low water and could have been expanded if necessary, if asked. Nature Conservancy also states that the area behind Smith Island has been actively managed since the purchase of the island in the late 60s, and they have made substantial improvements to the rock. This may be true. However, the rocks in question are channel water mean low water, and I believe are owned by the Commonwealth of Virginia. It appears that since 1895, this area of Smith Island has moved westward more than 1,400 feet, and the rocks in question were never part of Smith Island. We have bale of grime that's in the Atlantic Ocean now in this little area where the washover came through. So the whole island has moved back. In fact, after comparing aerial photos, quad sheets, and 1895 public oystergram map, it appears that the marsh island on the north of the oyster replenishment shell plant has risen from submerged lands, which are the property of the Commonwealth under 28.2.1201. Any island or land that is owned by the Commonwealth, whether currently in existence or subsequently created, that now or hereafter abuts a barrier island on the eastern shore shall remain the property of the Commonwealth and shall be managed by the Commission. Therefore, even though Mr. Jones is willing to leave the small unused shell pile, which I understand has market-sized oysters on it, in the middle of his application vacant, staff believes a vacant donut hole could create an enforcement issue. Based on the above, staff recommends the oyster grant application be approved as surveyed, and this would include the small shell pile for a total of 7.25 acres.
Thank you, Hank. Any questions, Mr. Badge? Mr. Tankard.
A couple questions for you, Hank. One, you had a slide that I think had your leases, the one before this, or maybe it's the next one.
You mean the aerial, that one?
Yeah. There's a Ballard lease on here.
Right.
Could you point that out?
This is the Ballard lease.
Right. And then the yellow area, mm-hmm. What is that?
The yellow area is what Hank Jones had applied for originally, 20 acres, which would have included originally all of the shell plant area.
Right. And that configuration is like that because of riparian ownership on the part of the owners of Smith Island, now the Nature Conservancy, or is that line that way for some other reason?
Which line are you talking about?
The easternmost line that is the western line of the yellow.
This line?
Yes, sir.
This was one of Ballard Brothers' leases, and it was about a 200-acre chunk. And for whatever reason, we came across like that. They weren't interested in this, and we didn't bother to do low water in that general area.
So that line has nothing to do with riparian ownership?
Oh, no.
Okay.
State of Virginia owns from low watermark out, and we can lease to the low watermark. As I said earlier, we always back off of it to give the benefit of that to the highland owner.
Mr. Tankard?
So thus, that's why you've come to the conclusion that on 28.2-1201, the ungranted lands, which arise from lands which are property of the Commonwealth, you believe this rock and in this ground has risen up from state-owned bottom.
I can't say that someone didn't make them. I don't know that. I just don't have the history on where these rocks were. I was talking more or less about this marsh here.
Okay.
If you look back on some of the 1960s, this was definitely separate from anything over here, and then they've kind of slowly gone together. My guess is the Nature Conservancy would say they owned this.
Further questions? Mr. Holland.
Would you put the slide up that's got it marked off in red with showing the donut hole? Yeah, right there.
Okay.
The oyster rock that you have in the center there,
mm-hmm.
Who's the ownership on that? Is that the state?
Until proven differently, I believe it's state. So it's beyond the low watermark.
If we lease that to Mr. Jones, then all the oysters on there would be his?
That would be correct.
Okay.
If we lease it to him. Mr. Jones is willing not to have that lease to him if that would make this more appropriate.
And another question? I'm sorry.
And that was suggested by Mr. Jones to Nature Conservancy, but the protest wasn't lifted.
Further questions? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hank, you spoke about, I guess, the dynamic nature of this shoreline to some extent. You said back in the 60s there was more of a separation there.
Yes.
Are you concerned about the eventual accretion of the shoreline into the lease, for example, or is there a trend? Is there a trend in that shoreline?
It could very well happen. It's happened in Chincoteague. We've got areas that are above low water. We can't go back and, or we, I guess we could, but there's probably 40 or 50 leases through the years that have been there since the 30s that are actually above low water or part of the marsh now in certain areas. Some places in Chincoteague, I surveyed, of course I've been here 30 years now, but I did survey it, and now it's got marsh in the middle of it, just the nature of the beast. When that happens and it accretes to someone's highland property, their ownership goes to the low water mark wherever it happens to be. So they would own into what potentially would be the lease area. Yes.
So in a case like that, it would simply be the leaseholder's loss. In other words, the Nature Conservancy would then own out
as long as it accretes to their property. If it's an island offshore and the two come together, it's a different story.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you. Is Mr. Jones here represented?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Thank you. I solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name, please.
Yes, sir. My name is Henry S. Jones, Jr. I'm a clam farmer from the Eastern Shore, and I'm in the seed business, clam seed business. And I have been looking for a place to overwinter seed for approximately 2.5 years now. I have leases now in the area, but nothing has been suitable for overwintering. I have made many attempts at overwintering on my present leases and cannot get the job done. 2 years ago, I started looking around and placing test beds. Just take a crab hot iron 2 feet square, put some clams underneath of it, cover it with a net, and walk away. Come back in 6 months and see what you've got. The area in the... how do you operate this rifle? Looking for the... Hank, where's it? How do you make it?
Yeah.
This thing?
Yeah, you got it.
What about... Hello. Okay. What I need is an area that stays below the water level. It's got to be shallow enough to work, but it cannot ebate on a regular basis. Now, this on northwesters in the wintertime with super blowout tides is going to ebate, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's the nature of the beast. But where I'm currently working is a sand bottom, and sand bottom is coarse enough and open enough that when you get a hard wind blowing in the wintertime, you get evaporative cooling. And even though it's 35 degrees out in the air, it can be 20, 18, 17, 16, 3-4 inches down below the surface. Clams freeze and they're gone. This area has a combination. Mud sand bottom is much more suitable for overwintering. It does not have the same evaporational cooling characteristics of sandy bottoms. This area is also the only area that I can find from the north end of Wreck Island to the south end of Fisherman's that is suitable for doing what we're doing. This area, if you'll notice these rocks, it doesn't really show it, but there is a oyster bar, a relatively shallow bar connecting these. And these oyster rocks are absolutely essential to my operation. I've got to have a barrier from to the northwest, which is off towards these rocks from this protected area in here. I've got to have a barrier against wind-driven sands and ice. Ice will tear me up. It'll lift the nets off the seed, and the seed will be gone because, you know, by nature, they're in the top just half, three-quarters of an inch of the strata. They won't go down. I find this and originally applied... for a large area, hoping to get something going. I find out that it was going to cause a lot of problems, and this will suit my needs and my operation down in here. Some question about ownership. Do I need to do my PowerPoint? That's going to take time, and y'all don't need to spend the time if you don't want to. I think Mr. Badger has proved this is below low water. I don't think there's any contention there. I've got a PowerPoint that motored around with my son on a sunrise one morning. Anyway, okay, go ahead back to this. To be as brief as possible, there are other leases in the area that are closer to the islands and to the marshes than this one is. And Hank, can you get this thing back to the one that showed the Baylor survey? Which one shows the Baylor line?
I'm not going to show any of them. It's going to have the Baylor line on it.
Yeah, you've got one. The lease has got it on.
The lease line?
No,
the
plat.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yes.
There you go. There's the Baylor line.
The Nature Conservancy is claiming possible ownership of this area. But there's a Baylor line. And that is showing that in the 1870s or whenever Lieutenant Baylor was around, that this was some type of valuable land to the public that had water on it. And the Nature Conservancy Smith Island has evidently backed up and come over closer. Now, if at some point in time the island continues to come back and this becomes high and starts ebbing out on low water, it is of no use to me. And I promise you, return it to the state. I've already leased one piece of ground that did not work out for me, and I returned it to the state who gave it to Reynolds, Billy Reynolds. Billy Reynolds, right beside my bottom. This Oyster Rock and this complex is extremely important to the environmental situation down there, and I understand that. The ecosystem, I understand it. What my theory is I have to take this area and keep it at very least the way it is now, but what really needs to do is be expanded, the oyster rocks be increased, make them more productive. That's the only way that I've ever seen a water and ice break on the eastern shore last is a live oyster rock. And with the situation we've got here, if the oyster rock dies, I've got a problem with ice moving down on me from the northwest. So it is absolutely in my interest to not only maintain the rock and the adjacent areas, if possible, if you all will let me do it, or let me help you do it with manpower or finances or whatever, or I will purchase sea oysters, put them in bags, get them out there until they're large enough for stingrays, to be resistant to stingrays, and I'll put down a couple hundred thousand a year. That is not a problem. You get Mr. Wesson to work with me, tell me what he wants done and where he wants it done, and I will see that it happens. The oyster rock is of the utmost importance to me, without question. It's got to be there for this to work. I'm trying to give a real short version of this, and I'm going to go ahead and sit down, if possible, if I could. When Mr. Truitt gets up, after he gets up, I'd like to address maybe some of his points.
Any questions of Mr. Jones? Mr. Tankard?
Mr. Jones, how long have you been in the clam business and in the seed business to give us a reference of your experience?
I started clamming in 91, and I've been raising seed since 99.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Anyone else in support of this project? Anyone in opposition to the project? Good afternoon, sir.
Hello.
I solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self to God.
I do.
State your name, please, sir.
Barry Truitt. I'm the chief conservation scientist at the Nature Conservancy.
Thank you.
Appreciate the opportunity to make some comments on this proposed lease and the request that it not be approved by this board. The Nature Conservancy is basing our request on the following six reasons, and I'll try to do this quickly. First, we believe this proposed lease will compromise the Nature Conservancy's riparian rights to Smith Island. We purchased Smith Island and its riparian oyster reefs in 1970. We inherited a lessee then, Mr. John Stillman, who had these reefs. These oyster reefs down at Smith Island just did not appear out of thin air and have not been harvested for a reason. This is the area in question. This is Mr. Jones' lease. These are oyster reefs that the Nature Conservancy has owned and managed at least since 1976 when I started there. And when we purchased the island in 1970, like I said, we inherited a leaseholder who had these reefs here, here, and these reefs here. We had made improvements to these reefs, put clamshells on, posted them. We had performance standards on our leases that required that we make improvements and post them. And they've been actively managed since we bought the island. And this includes the two little patch reefs in the center of Mr. Jones's proposed lease. Those reefs were made by lessees to our predecessor entitled other former owners when this area at Bear. I am in perfect agreement with this area down here, the 7.5 acres or 7 acres. This is no longer Ed Bear, but we feel we have an ownership claim in those reefs because they do still Ed Bear, and they were built when the area Ed Bear. Second, we believe this proposed lease will greatly complicate the Nature Conservancy's management of our sanctuary reefs and efforts to control poaching there. In 2002, we started a restoration partnership with NOAA and the Oyster Replenishment Department of BMRC. And at that point, the Conservancy declared or designated all the riparian oyster reefs that we owned on the seaside, five different locations, including this location at Smith Island, as shellfish sanctuaries. Since we've done that, and they haven't been worked, the oysters there have rebounded tremendously. There's some photos in the back of the letter I gave you that shows the conditions of the reefs there, the vertical relief, the mixed age of oysters. They've been described as some of the best oyster reefs in the state of Virginia. Like I said, these reefs just didn't appear out of thin air. As far as I know, the state has played no role over time in maintaining these reefs. And in fact, this whole southern end of Smith Island was originally leased out by Robert E. Lee back in the 1880s when he owned the island to the keeper of the lighthouse for oyster production. So that's how far this all goes back. It became clear to Jim and I in 2006 that we had a major problem with poaching on these reefs that we had constructed. We've constructed about 30 acres of reef on the seaside since 2002. About 20 acres are on state-owned bottom. About 10 acres are on TMC riparian land, either behind the islands or on some mainland farms. In 2006, we had over 100,000 oysters stolen in about a week or so's period of time from a reef that we built behind Cobbs Island. At that point, we started working with BMRC law enforcement, and since then, we've had one individual caught down here at Smith Island twice in 2006, three individuals caught last year that pled guilty, and two other individuals caught by BMRC staff at the boat landing oysters that were taken from these reefs. It's, you know, this lease will complicate efforts to control poaching down there, which is one of the major threats we have to oyster restoration on the seaside. Third, while the Conservancy supports aquaculture efforts and economic benefits, we just feel that this is not an appropriate use adjacent to an oyster sanctuary reef. These offshore leases here, I'm not sure when they were done, but it was our understanding from BMRC that this line here was approximately mean low water of the island back off 30, 40 feet or whatever standard they use. Now, that has changed. Like I said, I'm not so sure we still don't have these two little factories in the middle. I'm not going to comment on this piece up here because they didn't come prepared to do it, other than to say we have a development plot for Smith Island done in the
1960s by the Smith Island Development Corporation. This was an airport.
Fourth reason we're opposed, that we believe this lease will greatly impact further efforts by the Restoration Partnership, TNC, DMRC, and NOAA, and its funders to restore and create additional oyster reef sanctuaries at Smith Island and on the eastern shore seaside. Jim and I have raised a little over $1.1 million in public and private funding to do these nearly 30 acres of reefs. The 20 acres that on State on Bottom he's designated as oyster sanctuaries with some authority that he has through the code. Like I said, we designated our 10 acres plus an additional 30 acres that we owned as oyster sanctuaries. Jim and I in 2006 identified this area at Smith Island as a great place to do oyster restoration, because the oysters here had rebounded. They're 100% infected with dermo, but it's not killing them. They survived now for 6-7 years. Foot and a half of vertical relief. Beautiful oyster reefs. The other reason we thought this was an excellent area for oyster restoration is there is a nearby source of fossil shells in Smith Island Inlet, a couple miles away. The only other area we have for fossil shells is way up in San Joel Inlet at the north end of Wreck Island. In 2007, we raised $211,000 through the NOAA Community Restoration Program and built this two-thirds acre reef up here, which is the one that Hank was talking about was cut out from where he had it designated on his map. The Conservancy strongly believes the wisest and best use of this area is for continued oyster restoration by the partnership, BMRC, NOAA. We have $60,000 in hand to build more reefs down there next year. We'd hate to lose this area or any part of it. That's pretty much it.
Questions of Mr. Tankard, then Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Truitt, you've been with Conservancy for how long?
December 1976.
And you've been up and down these islands numerous times. Do you recall on your trips up and down the islands, this, in fact, area ebb out in your history?
I personally can't say that, because when we historically leased this area out, it was basically up to the leasee to maintain the area and all of that. So I can't tell you if it did or not, personally. I would assume that it did because of the cost of building the oyster reef. People wouldn't put it beyond low water mark where they could stand to lose it. It's really expensive. It costs about, at today's price, about $90,000 to build an acre of oyster reef with red shell.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Truitt, if you could help me understand your ownership claim as it relates to the lease. You've heard, I think, our staff testimony, that they're saying that based on the surveying work they did in the area, that the proposed lease is channelward of mean low water.
Yes, sir.
And
our position, though, is when those reefs were built, that area did ebb there.
So you're suggesting that the existing reef is effectively an island in the middle of, I mean, are you arguing ownership in the reef itself?
These two little hatcheries here.
Right.
Yes, sir. I mean, if you have a barrier island with a spit, and the spit gets cut off by a storm, you still own the island. If the whole island goes underwater, except for the dune line, you still own the dune line.
Okay, so I just wanted to make sure I understood your ownership claim as it conflicted with the proposed lease. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Truitt.
Thank you.
Mr. Jones, you have 2 minutes. Anybody else in opposition to this project?
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Number one, I do not under any circumstances. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Henry S. Jones, Jr. I do not under any circumstances plan to harvest any oysters off this reef. I don't want to do anything to destroy them. All I want to do is to build them. As far as them claiming that this was part of Smith Island at one time, the islands are moving to the west, not the east. The islands are encroaching on state marshes and state lands on the west, not getting deeper. The land is getting shallower. One of their problems, major problems, is poaching. There's only one way to stop poaching. That's to enforce some type of security system. Well, I'm on the water about 300 days a year or more. I'm on the water 5 days a week at a minimum, winter, summer, spring, and fall. I'm tending to 50 million clams a year right there, and I've got to be there every day to stop poaching. The same people that they caught poaching last spring, I had poaching on my bottom in Smith and in South Bay. I rectified that situation, and I certainly propose to rectify that situation down there. I do not want them anywhere near my clams. And as far as them leasing bottom to other folks over the years, I don't know who they leased it to, but I know a bridge that's got some ponds with plenty of orchards on it. Somebody want to lease that in Brooklyn, I guess you can lease anything you want to if you comes to that. So I just there are no claims. He has no claim. I don't think. And all I want to do is try to help create a larger reef because I'm greedy. I like to make money raising clams, and that reef will protect my clams. Thank you.
Further questions, Mr. Jones? Mr.
Yes, sir.
Tankard?
Just to help clarify for the commission, the seed that you're overwintering, where are you getting that from?
Some of it is imported from South Carolina under the agreement that the VMRC came up with how many falls ago? 3 falls ago with the Northern Seed Genetics. Some of it is from local producers, such as Cherry State.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Matters before the commission for debate and action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a follow-up question for staff on the, just to clarify the ownership issue. We've heard from both sides, and it seems the Nature Conservancy is arguing essentially repairing ownership of the oyster rocks, the 2 rocks right in the middle of the proposed lease.
Mm-hmm.
Did you mention earlier in your assessment that there was an offer to exclude those from the lease? But
that's correct. Okay. And if I'm not mistaken, Paul is here. The rock itself, those stakes were at the low water mark or beyond for the donut hole.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And yes, I would think if you have an island that erodes all the way around it, that's the case. Now, you can also throw the other side to it. If it's a shell plant, it's a man-made shell plant, is that different than something that existed like a marsh where a shell plant would be man-made potentially?
Okay, but in this case, staff's position is that this is state-owned bottom land.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Schick.
That was my question. You're maintaining that this is state-owned bottom land, and these reefs are constructed just as it wasn't a naturally developed island.
The rock itself,
yeah.
It's in the middle here?
Yeah.
I suspect that somebody did make that rock.
Right.
Whether they made it above the low water mark, I question that. My guess is, like in a lot of other cases on the Eastern Shore and other places, the low water mark got expanded just like leases get expanded. The stakes are never inside of the existing lease. They're always outside the existing lease. And the people who leased the grime from the Conservancy, I suspect, took advantage of that.
Mr. Tankard?
Hank, one question. You, right off the bat, you mentioned that oysters are on our mind and they'll be continue to be so. And you mentioned right off the bat that VMRC wouldn't allow Mr. Jones to take on an area to the south, I believe it was, because that was a VMRC shell plant area. But yet we've got VMRC working, apparently, with Conservancy in this area. How are the two things not,
right,
in some fashion, similar?
What I was saying, when Mr. Jones applied for all of this, VMRC, or I, determined that we would not lease this area in here because that's where Jim Wesson and Nature Conservancy, NOAA, and DEQ was putting their money into the shell plant, and we were not going to lease that area.
I did not see a problem with 300 feet south of the area that they're using. In my opinion, there wasn't any need not to accept the application and go forward. And obviously, we got protested, and that's why we're here today.
So the rocks, so the rocks to the south that Mr. Jones wants, they have not been part of the replenishment effort on the part of VMRC and Nature Conservancy at all?
The donut hole rock?
Yes.
Not that I'm aware of, no. I think all of their stakes and everything has been up here. I've never heard any comment about this rock being actually used.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one more follow-up question on the donut hole. Is that currently part of the application? In other words, are the two rocks inside the donut hole currently excluded from the application?
My 6.98 acres, which you see right here, excludes it. We're recommending including it, mainly because of an enforcement issue. Someone could get in there and say, I'm working the rock, and at the same time venture out beyond the rock into the clam beds and so forth. Like, we just looked at it from enforcement. But Mr. Jones would be perfectly happy to exclude it.
Okay. Further questions? Matters before the commission for action. Mr. Schick?
Yes, I move that we take staff recommendation in permitting this lease to include the two rocks, or what's been referred to as the donut hole, which sure. comes to 7.25 acres.
Is there a second? Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Bowden. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion? Yes, sir. Mr.
Thank
Robbins.
You. That's a concern I have is that the I appreciate the concern that staff has raised about the law enforcement issue, and yet the Nature Conservancy has raised a question about the ownership of the rocks that are right in the middle of this, and the applicant has been willing to exclude those from the application. I'd be inclined to exclude the donut hole from the application, and would offer that as an amendment.
Make the motion, accept the amendment.
I don't want to accept that because I just see this as an enforcement nightmare for VMRC and a problem for the owner, the lease owner, and if there are claims outside of this, then they're going to have to be pursued outside of this venue. So, sorry.
Friendly amendment rejected.
I would move the amendment then.
Move the amendment.
Discussion.
Just a minute. Substitute motion, is that what you're... Is there a second to the substitute motion? Is there a second to the substitute motion? Is there a second to the substitute motion? Substitute motion dies. The original motion is on the floor. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed?
No. Nay.
Motion carries 1, 2, 3... Two no's. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Holland, chair is yours, sir.